So let's turn that into a prayer. By the way, if you're ever singing a worship hymn and you're not really sure that you can say that to God, let alone sing it, what a great time to turn it into a prayer. Just take that and say, Lord, I'd like to be able to, you know, like, I surrender all. Really? Okay. Lord, help me. Help me to surrender all. Lord, help me to trust in you alone. Thank you. Thank you. You are so good that you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, we've been in the New Testament for a while, so I thought it was time to jump back into the Old. We're in a new book in our reading in Joshua. Joshua is a fascinating book. You know, sometimes we look at our Bibles and we wonder, how can something that was written thousands of years ago possibly be applicable to my life today? I mean, the world looks at the Bible that way and wonders, I mean, what's it got to do with me? Right? It's a fair question, especially when it comes to looking at certain promises from God's Word and wondering what they have to do with us. And you all know that story. You all know the story. I know I've told it before, you know, the guy who's trying to find out what to do, and he opens up his Bible and he reads, you know, he does this kind of thing. And he comes up with, Judas went out and hung himself. And he thought, that can't be right. You know the story. So he goes to another verse. Go down, do likewise. Oh, that can't be right. I need another promise. So he goes to yet another verse. What thou doest, do quickly. Yeah. I know it's an old joke, but it still works for me. Anyhow. These promises, sometimes in God's Word, are made to a particular person, right? So the question is, can I take that promise out of that context and apply it to my life? Well, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. And at the heart of it all is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps us understand God's Word. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is even able to take a promise out of context, and you don't hear this very often, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will do that. But we have to be very careful, and we have to make sure we're hearing from Him. Because usually the context has a lot to do with whether or not we can apply the promise to ourselves. So, it's wise to ask, especially to ask God, can I take this to heart? Does this apply to me? The verses we're about to read in Joshua are a great example of that. God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous, and you might ask again, does that really work for me? I mean, after all, you know, here's Joshua. Well, let's just read the story. I believe this particular passage, it's safe to say that we can. But I've got some good reasons for saying that. So let's jump in. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. You ready? This Sunday, I'm switching translations up a bit. I'll read from the New Living Translation. And again, this was part of our reading. So here we go. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness into the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, bless us as we look into your word. Give us wisdom. Help us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Okay, you know the history. At this point, God's people have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now it's time to go into the land that God has promised them. And Joshua is an exemplary leader. Remember why they stayed out of the wilderness or out in the wilderness? Remember why? Because when the land was shown them, when they sent scouts into the land to check it out, the vast majority became overwhelmed by the size of the people and the strength of their cities, and they thought, we cannot do this. Everyone except two people, Joshua and Caleb, they said, wait a minute, with God's help, I mean, he brought us out of Egypt. God can certainly do this. They saw things through the lens of faith, and that affected everything. I love the story of their lives because I wonder sometimes, what promised lands do we miss out on this earth because of a failure to move forward in faith? I think it's a good question. So now it's time to go in. Moses is dead. Joshua must lead. God lays out the boundaries of the land, tells Joshua no one will be able to stand against him. And there's a reason why he can do this, but he has to be mindful of several things. So look at verse 6:6 again, be strong, or verse 1:6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. I've called you to do this, Joshua. It won't be easy, but you can. The next verse, verse 7, gives us a hint. Be strong and very courageous. In this passage, God tells him this same thing in three different ways. It's like God grabs Joshua by the shoulders, looks in his eyes, and says, it's formidable, but you've got this. You've got this. You can do this. It's going to be hard moving forward. But man up, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. There it is, verse 6. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Then verse 9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. By the way, do you know that phrase is a common one? Not only in the Old Testament, but especially in the New. Do not fear. Think of how far back it goes in the story of Jesus. I mean, what's the first words out of the angels' mouths? Fear not. But how? How can Joshua move forward? God's told him, but what's this going to look like? Well, God gives them a how and a why. And it's there where you and I can start to understand that God isn't just talking to Joshua in his specific context. This also applies to you and me. So how can Joshua be strong and courageous? Again, go back to verse 7. Right after God says, be strong and courageous, he adds, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Joshua isn't just a warrior. Joshua is a man of God. Joshua is a servant of God. Joshua is a student of God. And to succeed, notice the number of times, by the way, that that concept is linked with obedience to God's word. If you and I are going to fulfill the purposes God has for us, we have to be in his word, and we have to place ourselves under it on a daily basis. And then you and I will begin to come into those places that God desires for us. And this isn't about a name it and claim it kind of thing. This is simply about delighting yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There are things that God made you to do. No one else has your unique DNA. And as you move forward into those things, seeking him, seeking his face and his heart, he has things. He has things that are just for you, that you will know are from him, that make your life so worthwhile. And it has nothing to do with money. Sometimes it may, but it doesn't have to. It just has to do with being alive in him, which is the best kind of life of all. I heard one of you say something very wise the other night. You said, I have to be in the Word of God every day. It's like eating. Because if I don't do it, my soul gets weak. I love that. Because at the heart of being strong and courageous is the heart of our Abba Father who loves us and speaks to us through his Spirit, the one who breathes life into us. The word breath of life also refers to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit, the breath, the Ruach of God moves through his word unlike any other place. And as you and I take that in to our souls, we find strength and help and inspiration that we would not otherwise have, certainly not in our own strength. So God points Joshua to his word. And the interesting thing about this is that you and I have an advantage over Joshua. He just has perhaps the first five books, of Scripture written by Moses. You and I have the Old Testament and the New. You and I have the revealed fullness of Christ. Read the epistle to the Hebrews. It talks about that, how all of these people in the Old Testament were just, living, anticipating what was to come. You and I have God's perfection poured out on us through Jesus and through His Spirit. Think about what Jesus said. Well, Moses said it first in Deuteronomy 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus, I'm sorry, that's Deuteronomy 8:3. I changed my numbers up. Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus said it in Matthew 4:4. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, the word God used when He told Joshua to meditate on the instructions that he was given means in some places to whisper or to murmur. And it may mean that it may refer in part to the practice of reading Scripture aloud, which is something that they frequently did. And by the way, that's a great practice to have. If you're wondering, well, you know, I'm just not getting things out of my Scripture reading the way I think I should, try reading it aloud sometimes. It's a good thing to do. So, say the Word of God aloud. Savor it. In other words, take it into your mouth, take it into your mind, take it into your heart. We need to take God's word to heart and go over it over and over again so that we can be strong and courageous. We need to camp out there. And there are verses that God has in mind for you in particular battles in your life. Whatever that battle may be, ask Him to show you. Look up also verses related to whatever your struggle may be. Then place those verses on a post-it note or somewhere where you can see it or hear it, you know, if you're more of an oral listener, so that you can take it in to your mind and your heart. God will help us see His Word in fresh ways and show us how it's meant for our lives each day. And each time He does, it's like, again, breathing new life into us. But we have to choose to sit before Him for this to happen. And if right now you're feeling like, I am so overwhelmed that I don't know I can do it, that's all the more reason to. Because chances are you've gotten to that place because maybe you haven't been. And dear one, there's no better place to be. Because your Abba Father loves you with a tenderness that is not of this world and can meet you in those places and speak to you and deal with those places that you could not share with any other heart. But He knows it immediately. He understands. So that's the how God gives Joshua. Live on Him, be daily in His Word. Here comes the why. Joshua really can be strong and courageous. And this verse applies to us. Go all the way back to verse 5, second part. God tells him, "For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." Now, hold that thought and jump to verse 9, the second part. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Hasn't He told us that as well? He's underscored it in his word again and again. Jesus, before he ascended, said, I am with you always, always, to the very end of the age. If Joshua could be strong and courageous because the Lord was with him wherever he went, how much more can we? Because we have the promise of Jesus that if we love him, if we obey him, he and his Father will come and make their home with us, in us. You and I do not know what the future holds. But in knowing him, we can face it. He knows it all. And it's amazing. It's amazing how you can look back years back over your life and see how God was putting things in place that you would not even know about. Again, as I shared with you last week, when I was a foreign exchange student in Germany in 1979 and 80, I had no idea that my host brother, the guy that I would do an exchange with, would decades later become a pulmonologist in Germany. And that's the kind of doctor I need. Talk about a second opinion. I can use that. Because my God had that planned all along. He's like that. He doesn't exist inside time. Yes, he does. I mean, he's able, he reaches in, but he is so much greater. He surpasses it. God is able to reach into time years ago and even now. Not to mention millennia into the future. I am with you always. The moment we receive Jesus, the moment we ask God to forgive us of our sins through his cross, through his love for us, he gives us new life in him and a living hope that we never would have otherwise. So yes, God's encouragement to Joshua applies directly to you and me. And you and I can go into his word and live there and stay close to him and let him breathe life into us afresh, because if you do that, whatever you face, oh, he is with you. And he is not only with you, he is for you. And he has everything well in hand. He has things for you and I to be about. That is why we are still here. And he will show us. By the way, do you know where Jesus got his name from? If you know the Hebrew name for Jesus, it's Yeshua, which is derived from Yehoshua, which, you guessed it, Jim, is the derivative source. That is Joshua. Which means the Lord saves. Oh, yes, he does. May we pray. Lord, thank you that you do. You save to the uttermost. You save in ways greater than we ever thought were possible. You save so that when the devil accuses us, you rebuke him because we are yours. Oh yes, you save more than we ever thought possible. And we praise you for it. Oh, we praise you, Lord. And if you have never come to him for salvation, let today be the day that you find strength in him and life. Come to him. Ask for his help to forgive your sins and to give you a new beginning in him. And he really will make a new way for you. He really will save you. And he really will bless you forever. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. An old one that we have not sung. Day by day, isn't that a beautiful old hymn? Such a good message. Bless us, Lord, to walk with you in your spirit, in your strength, in your word, in your light, in your love, all the way home. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All God's people say, Amen. But don't go yet. Stick around. We have boxes to get ready for Samaritan's Purse. So I hope you'll join us for that. God bless you all. Go in peace.